السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, last week we discussed a little about Hajj. I mentioned very clearly that if we have to discuss Hajj in detail, we can go on for the rest of the year and we will not be finished. In many masajid, detailed aspects of Hajj are discussed on Fridays, but it does not really benefit the large majority that attend the Friday congregational prayer, because it is not farz on most of those people who are listening. So Hajj talks on Jummah days is intended to give a little bit of encouragement to those people on whom Hajj might have become farz, but they are delaying without any valid reason. So therefore, I'm not going to go into the details. In fact, something that is becoming very disturbing now is that many people are becoming very anxious and desirous of gaining reward and sawab by sending very, very poor people for Hajj. And they think that they are doing some great duty, or they are attaining great blessing in choosing the poorest of the poor and sending him for Hajj. There is no doubt that that poor person will appreciate that Hajj which he is making, but in the selection and choice of the person, a person has to be very careful and guarded. Yesterday we had a person here at for Maghrib Salat, and immediately after the Maghrib Salat, he is announcing loudly, boldly and clearly, he says, "I don't have any food. I don't have money for food for today, but I'm leaving for Hajj on Sunday. Somebody is sponsoring my Hajj ticket, but I want some money for food for today and for tomorrow. And see if you can get a few people to get some donation for me so that it can assist and help me there for my needs." Now, is this going to be a Hajj? The person should have rather taken that 10,000 rands of whatever he was going to spend on that poor person. And if he really and truly believes that he's very poor and deserving and unemployed and does not, or he's handicapped and he will not be able to work, then take that, put it into a bank account and tell him for the rest of the year, draw so many hundred rands a month and buy your food, groceries, pay your light water account. That would have been more meritorious and more rewarding than to select such kind of people and give them money and say, go for Hajj. It is unfortunate that we do not even think correctly when we are making this type of expenditure. Nevertheless, that is a different subject. It just came by the way. But what I was saying is that the Hajj bayans and talks are generally intended for those people on whom Hajj has become farz, but they are delaying. So it is to give them some kind of encouragement that you should not delay and you should proceed. But what happens is the majority of those people who have already performed many Hajj, they will go again. And those people who haven't performed Hajj, they will still be delaying. So I'm not going to go into any further details with regards to Hajj. For that we have Hajj talks and Hajj bayans, where you can, those who are going for Hajj can listen to all the details. But there is no Hajj, or if you are talking about Makkah Sharif, then there is no completion of the program until we talk a little about Madinah Sharif. How can we forget Madinah Sharif, especially when we are discussing Hajj? There is no doubt that the visit to Madinah Sharif is not part of the Hajj program. That means if a person does not have sufficient money to go to Madinah Sharif, but he has sufficient to go to Makkah Sharif, undertake the rituals of Hajj and return, then too Hajj will become farz on him. But it will be gross injustice that this person is traveling all the way there and he says, I don't have enough to go to Madina Sharif. In fact, he should go walking and go and visit Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if he doesn't have the money for the bus. But like that, we have enough money for everything else. So if a few hundred rands are spent in the visit to Madina Sharif, then the person hasn't done anything really great. So although it is not part of Hajj, but if you look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the person who has performed his Hajj and then he comes and visits me, so he will get the reward of two accepted Hajj. That means the reward is already double too. But besides that, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his ihsan on the ummah is so great and so tremendous that I don't think there will be any person who will not be desirous of visiting the grave of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because we believe that he is indeed Hayatun Nabi. Now if we have to look at the large number of hadiths with regards to Madina Sharif, then again it will be the same story, that if we have to talk on that, we will go on for the rest of the year and we cannot finish. But just two or three hadiths that will come to mind, I will relate, just again to give this sort of encouragement to those that are going there to Madina Sharif, to respect that place, to honor that ground on which they walk, and to stay away and restrain themselves from indulging in any kind of activity on that Mubarak land, which will be displeasing to that beloved Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whom we are going to visit, and whose love we say we are carrying in our hearts. Now Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says that, Man zarani ba'da wafati, faka'annama zarani fi hayati, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that the person who visits me after my passing away, he is like that person who has visited me during my lifetime. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this visit of that person is as if he is visiting me during my lifetime. Now which person, if as a Muslim, if he had known that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in the masjid there, and I'm going to go there, I will be able to shake his hand, I will be able to sit with him, I will be able to talk to him, he will not be desirous of going and visiting. So this visit the person must consider as if it is a visit during Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's lifetime. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said that Man ja'ani za'iran la yahumuhu illa ziyarati. The person who comes to visit me, that means he is coming there for the ziyarat, and nothing else has brought him there for the ziyarat except that ziyarat itself. That means there was no other motivation. Just as in Hajj we heard that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked those people that had alighted from their camels near Safa Marwa, and then they went, they made the tawaf, and then they came back to Safa Marwa. Then he asked them that, what have you come for? They said, for Hajj. He says that, you sure that there is nothing else that brought you here? You didn't come here to receive some monies that people were owing to you, or to claim some inheritance, or some business deal? Nothing like that? They said, nothing like that. He said, well then you can start afresh. So in the same way he says that if the person has come to Madina Sharif, and nothing else has brought him to Madina Sharif except this desire to visit me, this intention of my ziyarat, my visit, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, he will be my neighbor on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be my neighbor. And he says that, I take it upon myself, I consider it as a duty upon myself to become an intercessor to intercede on his behalf. I will take it as a duty upon myself to intercede on his behalf on the day of Qiyamah. Now this is a great blessing and virtue for which a person should be going there to Madina Sharif. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that, I will be his neighbor, I will intercede for him, and who does not need Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's intercession, especially on the day of Qiyamah. Nobody will be able to enter Jannat without the commencement of the intercession by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore this visit to Madina Sharif, it is something that a haji looks forward to, there is no doubt. But unfortunately, just as other things, as I've mentioned, have become commercialized, and there's so much of tourism, and there is so much of indulgence in entertainment and haram pleasures, even in Madina Sharif, so people forget for what purpose and for what maqsad and what niyat they are there. There's so much of bazaars and marketplaces all around the Haram Sharif that the person is distracted. Shaitan has laid out his ways and the person becomes distracted. For that little while that he stays in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then it is as if he is in the haram or in Madina Sharif, but the moment they step out, then again you will wonder whether the person is in Madina Sharif. I can't help but repeating that one person once asked me to interpret one dream of his. And I said, "Are you sure that you are not going to be embarrassed if I have to interpret your dream?" He says, "No, I'm not going to be embarrassed." I said, "Your dream is clearly indicating that you committed zina in the Mubarak land of Madina Tayyibah. Very clearly indicating." Allah Ta'ala knows best. The person began to tear and he said, "Indeed, Mawlana, it has happened. What do I do now?" And he says, "I'm finding myself restless since that day. I just can't get over it. My life is in a mess. What do I do?" So this is why I'm saying that in those Mubarak areas also, don't think Shaitan has gone to sleep. Shaitan makes maximum effort in that Mubarak land to trap the Haji and to trap the person that makes Ziyarat Day of Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now what would we think of a person that is indulging in zina in Madina Sharif? And this is one incident where clearly the person admitted, but if we have to look around there, we know what is happening. We leave our young girls with those hotel managers and with those hotel receptionists, and after that what happens, everybody knows. So many incidents are taking place, but we are not prepared to open up our eyes. We say that, no, we are going for ibadat, we are going for hajj, we are going for ziyarat, so we must take our young girls and young boys along, and after that we are sitting in the Haram Sharif, and we do not know where they are, and what they are indulging in. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that this person has come to Madina Sharif for no other purpose, but accept my visit, then I will be his neighbor on the day of Qiyamah, and I'm going to intercede on his behalf. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that khadim-e-khas of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who spent all his life in the khidmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from the age of 10. Nabi-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he left Makkah Sharif, lamma kharaja Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Makkah, azlama minha kullu shay. Everything went dark in Makkah Sharif. Now you must remember that that was the time when the Muslims were making hijrat, all of them were migrating to Madina Sharif. So he says, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left from Makkah Sharif, it was as if darkness had come upon Makkah Sharif. Why? Because that noor that was there of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took it with him to Makkah Sharif, to Madina Sharif. So he says, everything seemed to us as if gone dark. But when he entered Madina Sharif, ada'a minha kullu shay, everything became full of light, full of brightness. That brightness was the brightness of the heart of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam that they were seeing in everything else. Because it does not mean that they, all the lamps were no more giving light in Makkah Sharif. The lamps were still giving light, but the darkness had settled because Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam had parted. But he says, in Madina Sharif when he came, then this is what happened. So he reports that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person who will settle in Madina Sharif and he will take upon himself, or he will bear the hardships and difficulties of Madina Sharif, then Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that I will be his neighbor again and I will intercede for him on the day of Qiyamah. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we know that there is no La ilaha illallah without Muhammadur Rasulullah. If a person has to take that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al jannah, the person who says La ilaha illallah, he will enter Jannat. So does it mean that there is no Muhammadur Rasulullah? How can the person even believe in La ilaha illallah if he hasn't first accepted Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam as the last and the final and the most truthful messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Who was the Quran Sharif revealed to? My Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he says it very beautifully in one couplet. Sharte tawheed kamil yehi hai, sharte tawheed kamil yehi hai, aapka ishq ho qalb jame. Gar na salli ala ho zuba par, kya asar hoga aho fugha mein. Gar na salli ala ho zuba par, kya asar hoga aho fugha mein. Shart tauheed kamil yehi hai, aapka ishq ho qalb jaan mein. if we do not have that love of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our hearts. And when the love comes in the heart, then the outward appearance also will be like that of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As I mentioned in the majlis the other night, that those who are in Madina Sharif, if they just cannot resist the temptation of shaving their beards, then at least curse themselves there and say, that, or make dua for themselves and say, "Oh Allah, how useless we are, how insignificant and how sinful, that even in this Mubarak place, we are not prepared to make our faces like the face that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would like to see. We are still happy to present ourselves with the faces that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's enemies lived, and he turned his face away from them. So at least say, "Oh Allah, I am like that. Give me hidayat, give me tawfiq." So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by his, so many things that are mentioned of Madina Sharif, that again, if we have to start, we will never end. But there's one incident that I mentioned many a times, and I will conclude on that for today, which just came to mind now, otherwise I wanted to mention another one. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, near his roza, Hazrat Muhammad bin Ubaidullah At-Tabi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was a Tabi, he says that I was sitting near the roza of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and a person came, an ordinary Bedouin he came. And look at the language in which he presented his salam and he made his dua. He says he came there, and after greeting Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he recited the verse of the Holy Quran Sharif. He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed upon you. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. If only those people, I'll just give you the explanation. If only those people, otherwise there is mentioned, wala wannam is zalamu, that person who has committed injustice to himself. That means the person has been indulging in sins, he has been indulging in vices, he has been indulging in haram, he has been indulging in those things that are displeasing to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Or the person has committed errors and mistakes in his life. But if they come to you, and then they make tawbah, first condition is that they first of all make tawbah, sincere tawbah from those sins. And sincere tawbah, I have mentioned many, many times what it means. That the person makes sincere tawbah from his sins. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, which has become qaza, he starts making that. People's monies that he is owing and all the debts that he has incurred, he makes his niyyah that I'll go back and I'll start paying. And if he has harmed anybody else or trampled upon their rights, he makes it his duty to return and start meeting them and asking for forgiveness. So this person who has made sincere tawbah, and the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is, "Oh Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you also make istighfar for that person," then they would find Allah Ta'ala most forgiving and most merciful. And thereafter he recited, he said, "O thou earth," the meaning of that poetry of his was, "O you earth, who gained respect and honor because of the burial of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Otherwise you was just an ordinary piece of ground, but your honor and your respect that you gained was because of the burial of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You have become the most honored piece of earth because of the burial of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because it is a consensus of opinion that that piece of ground on which Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam's body Mubarak lies, it is far more precious than the arsh of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala." So he came there and then he said, "Nafsil fida'u li qabrin anta sakinuhu فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم نفس الفداء لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. May my soul be sacrificed, may my life be sacrificed over that qabr, over that grave in which you are resting, O my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because it is not your body that is resting there. فِيهِ الْأَفَافُ وَفِيهِ الْجُودُ وَالْكَرَمُ. In there is virtue, there's goodness, there's generosity, there's the kindness of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, There's the rahmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There's the tawakkul of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There is that zuhud of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There is that sabr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There is that shukr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There is every virtue that you can think of which Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam possessed. All that went together with him into that grave. So we are not just visiting a grave. It's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam that we are visiting. نفس الفداء لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم أنت الشفيع الذي ترجى شفاعته على الصراط إذا ما زلت القدم أنت الشفيع الذي ترجى شفاعته على الصراط إذا ما زلت القدم. You are that Nabi of Allah, you are that Rasul of Allah, from whom we have great hope of intercession. We sinful ones like us, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have got great hope that you will intercede on our behalf on the day of Qiyamah. For we cannot do justice to the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, of which the greatest ni'mat is that he gave us a person like you as our Nabi. And he made us ummatis of yours. So we are hopeful of your shafaat, especially on over when we are going to go over Pul Sirat, where feet are surely going to slip, those who were indulging in vices and in sins, and when they were told that make tawbah and istighfar, then they were not interested, and they said that at present we are enjoying life, why should we worry about tawbah and istighfar, then they are surely going to slip on the Pul Sirat and fall into the fire of hell. So Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are of those sinful ones, and we are hopeful of your intercession. وَصَاحِبَاكَ فَلَا أَنْسَاهُمَا أَبَدًا مِنِّ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ مَا جَرَى الْقَلَمُ. And Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these two companions of yours, who sacrificed so much for you, and today they too have been blessed. What a beautiful blessing, what a great blessing that they have been blessed with resting at your side. How can I ever forget what they have done for the ummah? The Shias, they can curse the Sahabas how much they wish to. On the day of Qiyamah, they will know. That companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whom they curse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chose them to rest with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam in the grave. So he says, how can I ever forget them? And may salam be upon you until the pens go on writing. After that he went away. Hazrat Ubaidullah says that I went to sleep. In my dream, I saw Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, go and search for that person and inform him that I interceded on your behalf and Allah ta'ala has forgiven you. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless those who are going there to Madina Tayyiba with the tawfiq of really understanding that place and that ground in which they are standing, and to read salat and salam with that ishq and with that love which any ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam should be possessing. Make a lot of dua for the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam all over the world, suffering hardship, difficulties and problems. Allah Ta'ala with the barakat and the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remove the difficulties of his ummat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.